Hello, my name is Mark. Welcome to the Fitness for Humans podcast. This episode, per listener request, we want to touch on exposing our bodies to extreme temperatures, the benefits and the risks of doing so. You know, obviously, there's been a lot of benefits that have been researched and portrayed from doing certain things. So I want to make sure that we kind of clear the air on some things as far as, you know, the pros and cons of doing each thing. So, well, first thing we'll start with is cryotherapy, as it's called. Cold plunges basically is originally how it originated from Scandinavian countries, obviously. Cold water immersion, where you're in cold water up to your neck for your whole body for an extended period of time. Not too extended, but a certain period, just to kind of get the benefits of that for your body. But it popularized in Scandinavian countries from icy lake and river jumps. The belief was that it was good for vitality and recovery. Who knew they were onto something here? Benefits from doing so: stress relief, anxiety relief, and alertness. Okay, this comes from training your body to relax in a stressful situation like that. So this is something that's going to naturally alleviate a lot of the anxiety things that you have and the stress, because your body just will naturally adapt to handling that sort of thing when you expose it to an extreme temperature change like this. Metabolism boost by activating brown fat tissue. Now the big thing here is that brown fat tissue is something that can aid in burning fat, white fat tissue that's in our body as well, but it's something that we lose as we age. So activating that can be beneficial as far as getting your metabolism boosting your metabolism to burn a lot of the white fat tissue that we have. It also activates thermogenesis, which is the process of body working for more heat to stay hot. So obviously, if you're exposed to cold, your body's going to have to cycle through more blood to keep the temperature up, ideally around where it needs to be, in the 97 to 98 degree range. It is anti-inflammatory, known for reducing swelling and pain, but it's not ideal immediately post-workout. This is something we've touched on in the past as far as when to pursue things with cold, because obviously, you know, anything anti-inflammatory afterwards. We touched on it when we talked about our cardio, how we don't want to do cardio right after a workout because it can be flush out a lot of the lactic acid that we build in after we do any type of resistance training. And actually, some of that post-workout inflammation is still good. So making sure that, you know, if this is something that you're going to pursue, it's not after a workout. It's not on a workout day. It's more so on maybe a rest day if it's something that you take. This can help with depression by lifting mood, naturally reducing endorphins. Better for cardiovascular health by training body to better handle oxidative stress. This kind of ties in with the stress relief, anxiety relief, because you're training your body to kind of not panic quite as much when it's put under duress. Better sleep. This has been shown to have a positive effect on your circadian rhythm, which therefore leads to better quality of sleep. Okay, but a couple things that I want to make sure that I touch on here. Make sure you limit any cryotherapy to 1 to 2 times per week. Just because, you know, one, you don't want to do it on days if you're doing any resistance training, and two, you know, it's not something that's really going to be necessary more than that per week, unless it's something you're doing in small increments to try to get your body used to being in the cold water, to eventually maybe build up to that 15-minute, you know, tolerance. But the ideal temperatures, believe it or not, are 50 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit for the water. You know, they show us, you know, all these things that you watch people taking these cold plunges and stuff like that, and, you know, how it looks like it's equal parts ice and water, so it's like 32 degrees on your body. No, the ideal temperature is between 50 and 60 degrees Fahrenheit, plenty cold enough. Just fill your bathtub with, or anything that you're going to sit in, with cold tap water, and then add ice to adjust the temperature farther down if need be. If your water's already coming out at 50 to 60 degrees, that's great. Do not exceed 15 minutes when you are in there, okay? This can lead to hypothermia if your body temperature drops below 95 degrees Fahrenheit, which could be very, very dangerous. So make sure that we are mindful of that. If we ever do jump in, we have a timer by us. If it's something you're that tolerant to, that you can be in for that extended period of time. Start slow, 10 to 15 seconds to get your body used to it first few times, just to, you know, kind of, you know, acclimate to it. It's not something you want to really just jump in and be in for 15 minutes for, because your body's not used to that and it will not react well to that. Okay, some risks of you know, pursuing any type of cryotherapy: hypothermia. Okay, I think we kind of touched on that already. Minimize muscle growth. This can, you know, touches in with, you know, the timing of it, based on this, why you want to basically do it on rest days. That way you're not killing off any inflammation that can be beneficial for your muscle growth post-workout. Sudden spike in blood pressure will increase the risk of heart attack and stroke, because you're you know, shocking your body and therefore creating, putting your body under a little bit more duress, which can be a little bit dangerous. So make sure that if this is something that you're thinking about pursuing, make sure you have medical clearance before doing so. Okay. One thing I want to touch on is do not waste your money on cryo centers, guys. This is something you can do very easily and affordably at home. Cryo centers, you know, they sell this thing, you know, sell the package of, you know, they're going to put certain, you know, cold bandaging and whatever, blankets, whatever, on certain parts of your body to shrink those section of fat cells. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It does shrink the fat cells, but it's only temporary. The fat cells come back to normal. You're really seeing no added benefit from that as opposed to if you were just doing the entire cold water immersion. It's basically the same thing, only focuses on one part of your body. So kind of scammy to me, but to each his own. If that's something you wish to pursue, Godspeed. Jumping into sauna therapy now. This is the steam therapy, hot. 80 to 100 degrees Celsius is typically where the temperature range is for saunas, and same thing, about 15 minutes when you do pursue any type of sauna therapy. Traditional Finnish practice for purification. So obviously those Scandinavian countries are onto something when they are we're looking into extreme hot and cold. So kudos to you. Benefits from sauna therapy: cardiovascular health by reducing hypertension. What this does, according to the Mayo Clinic research, helps by dilating blood vessels, therefore naturally reducing blood pressure. Obviously, having the more room for the blood to flow through, it's going to lower your blood pressure, at least at that time. It helps with muscle pain by reducing delayed onset muscle soreness. Delayed onset muscle soreness is something that occurs in your muscles if you have soreness after a workout. What it is a sign of basically overworking sometimes, or if it's something that you just knew that you're not getting used to. Sauna therapy can help with that. Also, has been shown to reduce fibromyalgia symptoms. So if you're somebody that suffers from that, sauna therapy may be something to look into, as it can be relaxing. Releases endorphins, boosting mental health. Okay, it's possibly associated with the decreased risk of Alzheimer's as well. So something to kind of not overlook there. Obviously good for detoxification, the original purpose of it. Stimulates white blood cells, which help fight infection. Okay. Sweating naturally obviously eliminates toxins naturally. So, the detoxification thing, obviously, I think it explains itself. Different genetic responses to sauna therapy, but this is for your doctor to explain it to you. I am not going to jump into any of that. So make sure that, same thing, make sure that you are getting any type of medical clearance before you pursue this as well, just like the cryotherapy, just because you want to make sure that if you have any issues with hypertension or stroke risk or, certain things. Something definitely be beneficial to consult your doctor with. Okay, this type of treatment is better post-workout than ice therapy due to better blood flow, leading to better nutrient redistribution. This is something that we've kind of touched on ad nauseum, guys, and I will keep hammering home on that just because it is so important. Certain risks that do come with it: dehydration, obviously. Hydrate before you go into a sauna, and no alcohol. Low sperm counts can be an effect if you're a male, but only temporary. Something that isn't a permanent effect if you're somebody that is visiting the sauna. Could affect blood pressure. Obviously, dehydration leads to hypertension, so naturally it could have a negative effect on your blood pressure, and it could exacerbate effects of low blood pressure if you're on blood pressure medicine. So it could actually lower your blood pressure too low as well, because it does dilate your blood vessels. So certain things to kind of be aware of there. So let's recap the episode, okay? Seek medical permission before any hot or cold treatments, okay? We've explained that, and I think that's a very important point to touch on here, but the benefits are clearly there based on the research. So if it's something you wish to pursue, you have my blessing. Timing, okay? Cold therapy on off days as far as your resistance training, and hot therapy for immediate recovery, okay? Don't overdo. 15 minutes max for both of these, guys, okay? You want to, make sure that you remember the risks, and make sure that you are having a timer, whether on your phone or whatever next to you, to make sure that you're keeping track of how long you're in certain things, because the last thing you want is to have severe dehydration causing dizziness from a sauna or any type of hypothermia from being in a cold plunge for too long. So hopefully this has been beneficial for you. Until next time, so long.